Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me right now, though, to talk some NFL, talk some quarterbacks especially, although there's some non-QB topics I want to get into with our next guest. He is a former NFL quarterback, 12 years in the league, including right here in my backyard in Houston, Texas, for a few years with the Houston Texans. Sage Rosenfeld is joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Sage, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you on, man. I want to get into some QB talk in just a second, but I think the biggest story in the NFL over the last 48 hours or so is the Cowboys' release of Dez Bryant. In your mind, what's the ideal situation for Dez Bryant going forward, Sage?
Whatever team needs a fairly average wide receiver, that's probably going to be expensive. So that's my guess. There's a reason they released Dez Bryant, and I think number one is that he's just not as good as he used to be, and number two, his salary was so high going into the season. So they don't view him as a sort of top-notch number one guy. He's probably a number two guy at this point. Actually, when I was in Houston one time, we had a guy named Eric Molds. He was a very good player. Eric went to a couple Pro Bowls. We caught him at the end of his career, and you could just sort of tell he wasn't the Eric Molds of 25 years old. So he's coming to the end of his career. He's a receiver, and at this point, he's a big body, can go up and snag him, but he's not great in all the other stuff anymore.
So let's shift gears, because I know I was looking at some of your tweets, and I know you are heavy into evaluating some of the quarterbacks that are coming into the league this year. Of the four that everybody are talking about, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and Mayfield, which of those four do you like the best and why?
Well, I think every guy is a different situation, and there's also a risk-reward factor with each guy individually. I think that Josh Allen has the biggest upside, the highest ceiling. He's the best athlete of the group. He's got the biggest arm. But there's a lot of questions just, within his accuracy, within all these different things. Coming from a smaller school, just not sure. Strangely, he scored the highest on his Wonderlic. Not that matters all that much anymore. And then on the other end, Josh Rosen seems like a guy to me that's almost like a Kirk Cousins. Maybe doesn't have that super high ceiling, but I can come in right away. He's an accurate thrower. He's a really smart guy. He understands the game of football. He's been taught very, very well over the years of how to, understand defenses and where the ball should go. He's accurate. He's not a big guy, though, and I don't know, how good an athlete is he. Where is his top side? So, each guy is interesting, and it's fun to break down. And at the end of the day, it's probably going to be two guys work out and two guys won't.
Yeah, you're right. That's the percentages would definitely tell us that. As a former quarterback, what's the hardest trait, from your experience, your own experience, and your experience of just watching other guys come into the league, what's the hardest thing to evaluate in translation from the college game to the NFL game?
I think what I always call the it, and it's really just grit. And I always say Drew Brees is the guy who has this it about him, and he raises the level of every single person on the team, whether it's the center or the defensive end or the head coach and the woman who cooks lunch every day. So guys like that who are sort of just transcendent players who attach guys who attach to them and they raise the level of play. Drew Brees has that sort of thing. He came out my year 2001. He was a second round draft pick. He didn't have the big arm. He was barely 6 foot. All these things, but man, the guy's just a winner. So that's the hardest thing. And, all these coaches are going to, all these NFL coaches are going to interview all the college coaches, the quarterback coach, the coordinators, the head coaches, and all those guys are going to say great things about the player. They were the first guy in the building, last guy to leave, and everybody just gravitated towards them. But, some of it's true and some of it's not. So it's really hard to, once you give a guy, $30 million, how does that change his life? And does he really have that burning desire to be a great quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady?
Sage Rosenfeld's joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Sage, you mentioned Kirk Cousins in your comparison, I think it was of Josh Rosen in the question I just asked you. So I want to bring up Cousins now. I know you still are real focused on the Vikings. I know you've got your podcast, the Locked On Vikings podcast that you do. The Vikings were 13-3 last year with Case Keenum, and it's interesting because I had a Vikings fan call in a couple segments ago saying, how do you think they'll do this year? Is it possible the Vikings could actually be a better team on paper this year, but maybe not do as well on paper as they did last year?
Yeah, that's a good question, and we also know what the full Vikings roster is going to be. You know, Rick Spielman and George Payton and Scott Studwell, so the people who pick the players up there, they've done a really good job of shaping this roster through the draft over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 seasons. So, there's going to be maybe 4 up to 8 guys, maybe 10 guys that are on this football team next year that we don't even know about right now, right? So it's a very good roster. It's a very good team. They won a lot of good ball games last year. The ball sort of bounced their way. They might come out and win 10, football games this year and barely get in the playoffs. But I will say, I think going out and getting Kirk Cousins was the right decision. Rick Spielman has made mistakes in the past on quarterbacks. I was probably one of them. He traded for me twice, really, to be a backup over the course of my career. And so they have a guy that was the best guy available. They're going to try to make their team, the best at every position, and they got the best quarterback out there. So they might win 10, maybe 11 games this year, not 13. But, really, they're a very good football team this year. But, the ball sometimes bounces the other way.
Yeah, do you think Kirk Cousins has that elusive it factor that you referred to earlier?
I do, I think what he needs is probably to win the big game. He's played in a lot of regular season games, and he's won some big games. But to get to a Super Bowl, to get deep in the playoffs, win a couple of playoff games, maybe it's the first round of the playoffs, or even just a game to get in and. The whole team sort of jumps on Kirk Cousins' back and says, let's go win this game. And, he brings them back in a fourth quarter win or something. Something we've seen guys like Tom Brady and Breeze and Aaron Rodgers do in the past. Then, elevate Kirk Cousins' level to sort of that next level. He's a good quarterback. He is being paid like he's a great quarterback. He just needs to sort of have those magical moments, I think, to get that full confidence in himself that, he can be, amongst one of the best.
How do you think Case Keenum will do in Denver with a head coach you've played for before? I know you didn't play for Vance Joseph, but Gary Kubiak is in the building there now, and I think everybody kind of assumes that Gary Kubiak's fingerprints are on a lot of what the Broncos are doing these days. How do you think Case will function in that environment?
Well, I think great. I played for Kubes for 3 years down in Houston, and I think when he has he's a part of the conversation about the offense or about the quarterback or about the run game, I'm listening. If I'm the coaching staff. So if Kubiak doesn't understand why you're running a play or why you're running a concept or why you're not trying something different, he's not going to let some coaching staff run a bunch of nonsense offense. And believe me, there's some nonsense offense in the NFL. So I like this move. I like Case, as a player. I think he's a good player, and I think he's good for that football team. He was also, what's nice about Case is he was just on the Vikings team who had a really good defense, who had a run game. So, that Denver Bronco defense has been very good for a number of years now. If they can get that running game going, I see Case Keenum as a really good zone play action, poor man's Matt Ryan, type of football player. So I think that might be a perfect thing for Case, who has played in the Kubiak type system.
Do you think that the Broncos, and I'm talking to Sage Rosenfels, 12-year NFL quarterback, do you think the Broncos are still in the market for a quarterback with that fifth pick in the draft? And which of the quarterbacks that are coming in do you think fit best in what that Gary Kubiak system looks like?
That's a good question. The nice thing about Kubiak's offense, and I don't think they're going to run Kubiak's offense, but at least Kubiak's offense was, he got hit guys from Jake Plummer to Matt Schaub and all in between, mm-hmm. right? So he had guys that were exceptional athletes and guys that weren't great runners. That zone play action / bootleg scheme, anyone can run it if they're they have a great attention to detail, they're a smart football player, and they understand what's being taught there. So I like what they're doing, but Denver and Arizona are sort of two teams that signed new quarterbacks, but I sort of felt like the front office was probably looking for a quarterback before the ink was even dried on that contract. I mean, Denver's looking. They know they want a transcendent quarterback. Case Keenum's not the transcendent quarterback. He's the best guy they could get this year. They like him, I'm sure. But yeah, they're in the market for one of these guys they really, really like. I can see Josh Allen, if somehow he falls, I can see, you know, a guy like John Elway, big, strong athlete, like Elway was, to like a quarterback like Josh Allen. He's the best athlete of the group.
Yeah, right in their backyard from Wyoming, right there, playing in Wyoming at least. Sage Rosenfeld's joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Sage, what about Lamar Jackson? I know people are talking now, like, you know, now that the Patriots have moved into the first round with a couple of picks, their own pick and then the pick from the Brandon Cooks trade, that they could be in the market to use one of those picks on a quarterback. What do you think about Lamar Jackson, and what do you think about the Patriots potentially taking Lamar Jackson?
Well, yeah, you know, he really intrigues me, and I think that he probably intrigues Bill Belichick. I mean, when Michael Vick came out, you know, he was a guy that people were, you know, he sort of, you know, came into the league by storm, and people didn't know how to stop a quarterback who could run that well and throw that well. And I think Lamar Jackson throws the ball, you know, fairly well, and he was in a pro-style offense. There's a lot of things I like about his game, and I think that Belichick is always looking to be one, you know, one step ahead of everybody else. Maybe there's some things about, you know, his skill set that he thinks he could take advantage of. I will say this. I think the biggest my concern long term with Lamar Jackson is, you know, any quarterback that runs around as much as he did in college, he was an amazing runner in college, but Michael Vick got beat up a lot in his career. And if Lamar Jackson runs around as much as Vick did early in his career, I don't know how long he'll last, because he's not a huge guy. You know, he's 6'3", but he's not a huge 240-pound, big, strong guy. So, you know, that's my concern with him. But I think the Patriots, you know, who knows what the Patriots are doing? Bill Belichick just sort of does whatever, and he keeps everybody on their toes, because everyone knows that they're, you know, over time they've been the best team that has made the right choices on personnel and draft picks and free agents.
Sage, last one before I let you go. You mentioned you were a Texan from 2006 to 2008. I'm just curious your reaction to a lot of the firestorm that's been brewing around the Texans with Bob McNair, and specifically, Andre Johnson was on Arian Foster's podcast last week and talked about a cookout that took place right after the election, and just, you know, we know the issue with Dwayne Brown and Bob McNair, and just the general maelstrom that's been around Bob McNair over the last several months. As a former Texan who was on the team in 2008, what is your reaction to all this?
From what I've read and what Dwayne Brown said, and with others that backed up, I will, you know, agree with how they saw it. That's how I saw it as well. That some sort of practice or something, and obviously it was a late season practice, a November practice, and he addressed the team. A lot of guys in that team were really excited, about Obama becoming president. Yeah, I realize these. Now, teammates of mine, over half of them are African American. They've never, seen a person of color, be president of the United States. So for a lot of those guys, it was a real sort of special. I'm sure they were giddy on Wednesday morning. And Bob McNair made a comment that, you know, he wasn't really happy with the result, and that wasn't the guy that he was, pushing for. But mm-hmm. We got to press on, and yada yada. And I was it was really odd to me at the time. And, I only imagine how it made a lot of other people feel.
Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, 12 years in the league, and great stuff for The Score. And you can give him a follow on Twitter, at Sage Rosenfels 18 on Twitter, and the Locked On Vikings podcast as well. Hey, Sage, really appreciate you making time. Really good stuff, man. Thanks a lot. Hope to do it again with you soon.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.